Time now for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. You'll find them at tqag.com. Ladies and gentlemen, here they are from sunny Florida.
Good morning.
Hey,
I'm
good
here
morning.
This week.
So how are things in Florida? Is the weather nice?
Oh, it's Florida. It changes every 10 minutes. So yes.
Right. We've been having some rain. We're in the rainy season, so it's a little bit rainy.
I remember when I was a kid and my father used to play at the Fountain Blue and stuff like that down in Miami and stuff like that, and we'd go down there and I'd wake up in the morning, it would be raining like crazy, and I'd be so upset because I can't go out to the pool or anything like that. And then by like 11 o'clock, it was beautiful and dry.
Yeah.
It was never that way in Northwest Connecticut, but in Florida it was.
No, I was out with the dog early this morning and out with Sienna, and it started a little drizzle, and I was like, come on, let's go. But here in Florida, like, when you're in Connecticut, a little drizzle leads to a lot of drizzle. It's just a little bit of drizzle, and then it stopped. And I mean, it's still a little overcast out there, but you know, by this afternoon, we'll probably be sunny and bright.
All right, now, do you have any impressive numbers that will steer me from any auctions or any items or anything like that?
We sure do, Greg.
Well, I just want to touch, I think last week we talked, or not last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the upcoming Kobe Bryant, or the sale of Julian's that included 9 lots of Kobe Bryant. And those 9 lots brought, just those 9 lots, $202,000, Tim, I think it was, or was it 220?
$202,000.
And one of them was his handprints in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, and they sold for $75,000 for a concrete slab. so that's probably the highlight of the Kobe Bryant stuff.
Well, and also what makes this, again, the context of value of what makes this important, not only is it Kobe Bryant and, you know, a tragic death, but also was the first athlete to cast his prints at Grauman's Theater, which is usually a tribute reserved for Hollywood stars. So it's the first of something and part of a tradition that probably other athletes have done. But having this also being the first time, I think that this was being offered at auction also helped, because it's a one of a kind. You know, there aren't other casts of these handprints, so that makes it really special.
Well, the other thing that sold that was a good price that brought a fair amount of money was his Nike Lakers home, his entire uniform, a game worn uniform from the 1999 to 2000 finals. So the first the price that it sold for was $43,750. So that for a first time, for a full uniform, that's a pretty good price.
And also, again, the context of value. This was the first of 3 consecutive NBA championships. So to get the first of 3 consecutive NBA championships in the uniform, very desirable and a very good price for that, which is neat.
That begs the next question for me is, okay, this was the first of the uniforms for the championship. The next time they went up, I wonder if that, I'm sure that uniform has to exist somewhere and somebody must have it. Sure. So I think the quest is now probably, if it were me as the collector, I'd say, I need all 3. And that's what drives the collectibles market.
Exactly.
Even
exactly.
To this day.
Yeah, no, you're right on there, Greg. You're right on. And I have one for Marshall. It's one of his favorite things that we love to talk about. It's a pair of sneakers. It was the Adidas basketball sneakers, game worn by Bryant during the 1999-2000 NBA Finals, signed by him, and it sold. They sold for $25,600. So, sneakers. I'm telling you, it is a market that.
And that was just game one of the finals.
That was just
the 99-2000 NBA finals. So yes, that would have been the first
game worn 1999-2000 finals. It does. I don't know if it was game one.
Just imagine
game. Just it was game worn.
Yeah, just so imagine. Just imagine if it went to seven games. It probably would have tripled.
Yeah.
You know, to be in the final game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think it probably had to be the first championship because it was the 99-2000 NBA Finals, and so was the shoes were also worn in the 99-2000. It says in the catalog that they were from 1999 to 2000 NBA Finals. So I'm assuming that means that they would have also been the first year they won the championship.
Right. So did the guy who bought the uniform buy the shoes so he has a complete set?
Probably. Another interesting question.
Probably. What about the jock strap?
Well, now, Marshall, here's your quest. Now that you see, now you can actually look for the other two. You can, you know, the other two pairs of shoes.
Hell no. I'm going to start putting my sneakers up for auction.
I was just going to say, you've got to start signing them, Marshall, after each broadcast.
I can put my pre-surgery sneakers up for auction because they're so bent out of shape and they were so ripped in many different directions from the way I was walking that, and then I'll put them up for auction and I'll say these are limited edition.
There you go.
And actually, you can truly say that they are very game worn.
That's right. sneakers. I can understand uniforms. I can understand baseball caps. I can understand lots of things. But I can understand like limited edition Air Jordans or whoever has a limited edition sneaker, okay? And they're really famous, and there's only a few of them, and maybe these were like the first runoff or the one that I can understand that, but I can't understand on regular game sneakers because, like in football, what they found out with jerseys in football, it's so easy to cheat. People were buying what they thought were game-worn jerseys, and it found out that even the players who donated the jerseys – those jerseys weren't the ones that these people were selling. It's such a weird market when you come to items like that. Whereas if you've got something that's truly, truly special, you can see where there's going to be provenance that can be proven. But game-worn jersey and game-worn shoes, it's really hard to prove that they were
correct,
actually worn.
Correct. So that goes to the provenance, and that's a really good point. That's what the auction house's due diligence is, to make sure that it's not just these items that were probably donated to, which you see these other items that are donated to charities that are, you know, maybe the athlete sat for an hour and signed 1,000 of these different things. And somebody said, oh, I bought it at a charity auction. Well, yeah, but it wasn't game used at all. The player just put his signature on it. It has nothing to do. And this is what we'd like to make the distinction. There's a difference between memorabilia and merchandise.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the merch, that's when, you know, it's just there's a lot of it out there. But people think that merchandise also has the same collectability and the same market presence, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, on another note, the Julian's also had another auction. We had talked about this also. It was the upcoming, would have been the 94th birthday of Marilyn Monroe, and Julian's on her birthday did an online auction, and the things did pretty good. They all performed for the most part above their high estimates, But there were a couple of things that were a little I guess they weren't odd, but they things that you wouldn't have thought were even still around. But her Brentwood home, which sold in 2017 for $7.2 million, the brochure, the real estate brochure, came up for auction at the online Julian's on her birthday sale on June 1st. And it was estimated at $25 to $50, and it realized $5,100 for the brochure. So,
wait a minute. Repeat that. What was the brochure estimated? Repeat
the selling estimated. Of the Brentwood estate. It estimated estimated at $25 to $50.
Yeah,
right.
And it sold for $5,100.
Jesus.
There's another one for us to just chalk up to you. Yes. But Marilyn, you know, continues. Marilyn is one of those that continues to just perform in the marketplace. And a lot of it is because of the estate licensing and getting her image out. And again, this is the synergy between merchandise and memorabilia, is that when the estate does it right and gets things out there, it's still in the public eye. And this is, I'm actually working with the International Society of Appraisers. I'm on a task force, and I'm really excited about this. We're talking about the intangible personal property. And the intangible side of this is the balance between the merchandising and the memorabilia. And if an estate puts this together and does it properly, it keeps it out there in the public eye and will continue to help to raise the value of the memorabilia, as opposed to other estates that might not have that kind of wherewithal or know-how and or desire to do any of that. Then it's if there's no merchandising out there, especially for older actors, actresses, celebrities, personalities, then it becomes in a couple years in another generation. Who was that? Weren't you so-and-so? What? And if then it's like, well, then who cares? As opposed to when you have this merchandise memorabilia synergy, that's what really helps drive value.
So basically what it comes down to when people are buying things on eBay or other, I'm going to say, not totally refined auction sites. I'll be pleasant. They're not ripoff sites, but they right. don't they don't involve all the protections that auction house gives. And so while they might buy something that they think is a great deal, there's really probably a 50-50 shot that there's no provenance with it. And that's what makes the big difference by actually going through an auction house, I would guess.
Right. And perhaps what you're buying is merchandise, not really memorabilia. You know, so let's just keep it that way. If you use that distinction, then it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah.
So it's okay to buy like a Flowbee or a slow cooker on eBay, but I really wouldn't. Anything that, if it seems like too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Exactly.
Well, just to touch on that a little bit, when you had mentioned the auction house versus, let's say, eBay, let's address the elephant in the room here. As far as memorabilia goes, I mean, you can buy, there have been things that have been so weird sold on eBay that were, air quotes, memorabilia. For example, we had talked about this a number of years ago when it happened, and it was chewing gum that I remember Britney Spears. They don't even know if it was hers or not. They just found it at one of her concerts around where she was, and apparently they assumed it was hers. And it sold for, I don't know, some ridiculous amount of money. And it was something like, I don't know, maybe 15. I don't remember the exact amount, but it did sell for a tremendous amount of money. And, you know, the stupid things like that. And now no auction house would have sold that. it's just one of those things. And this is the problem about fame and memorabilia. You can, you know, if you were Joe DiMaggio and you were sitting at a table for 8 hours signing your autograph, I would consider that merchandise as opposed to memorabilia. But if I was Joe DiMaggio and I sold or not, and I was at one of the games that he signed a game used ball and then sold it, that's true memorabilia. You know, chewing gum, not memorabilia. So and auction houses don't sell crap like that. It's just not. That's why the provenance, you cannot prove a lot of these things.
Right.
All right. Well, guys, we're out of time. Stay safe. Enjoy your beautiful weather while we have cloudy and possibly showery weather today. And we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds okay.
Good. Have a great week.
Marshall.
Take care, guys.
Bye, buddy.
Bye. Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.